Times are tough and it's giving me the blues, but stick around a little more for a little more bad news. Got a woman on the line who's getting ready to hang up. Says she's tried to live on love and she's had just
gotta love that tune from 1100 Springs as they get things going for us here this morning on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Pleasure to be here with you as we do it every Saturday from 8:30 until 9:30. Got a great show lined up for you this morning. A little different format from what we usually do, as we're paying tribute to our Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Wardens this morning. Our Game Wardens really do put it all on the line each and every day in order to preserve and protect the animals and resources that you and I love so dearly here in the Lone Star State. Off the top, we're going to mix in a Cooper Lake fishing report with my buddy Steve Pebley, and then we're going to move right into things with Refugio County Game Warden Raul Pinky Gonzalez. Pinky recently had a pretty horrific run-in with an 8-foot alligator, and we're going to get the first-hand account of what exactly happened and what went wrong in that situation. So we'll visit with Pinky coming up here in just a few minutes, and then later on in the show, we're going to talk to Kaufman County Game Warden Eric Minter. You may remember that Eric was a guest on the show back in February, and he described in detail the hunt where he harvested the fourth highest grossing non-typical whitetail ever taken with a bow in the great state of Texas. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding that deer, and Eric actually called me and wants to come on the show to kind of clear things up a little bit. So we'll visit with Eric at the bottom half of the hour. Couple orders of business. Hope everyone had a great time out at the Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo last weekend that was at the Gaylord Texan Friday through Sunday. It was a blast. Lots of famous outdoor personalities, great guides, and outfitters as well. Was truly an awesome weekend. Also, congratulations to Greg Pavour. His photo submission was selected for our May Photo of the Month. He wins a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News. He's also entered into our grand prize trophy boar or whitetail hunt that we'll be giving away at the end of the year. If you want to enter our Photo of the Month contest, send me your best outdoor photos to cablewaco@yahoo.com. And just one more thing before we visit with Cooper Lake guide Steve Pebley. Next week, we'll be giving away a bay fishing trip for two, and who doesn't like to eat reds and trout? The trip is with my buddy Mike Caserta over at Real Fiddler Charters, so stay tuned for information on how to win that awesome trip that we'll be giving away next week. Well, speaking of fishing, it is now my pleasure to introduce Cooper Lake guide Steve Pebley to the program. Steve, I understand that the fishing has picked up significantly over the past week or so. Tell me what's been going on out at beautiful Cooper Lake.
Yeah, the last couple of days, the warm weather's warmed the water temperature up to where the hivers are now starting to school, and it's a shad. You're seeing a lot of shad flying out across the top of the water and a few swirls here and there, and catching quite a few fish, especially midday and late in the afternoon.
And Steve, what bait is proving to be the most successful for hybrids?
We're throwing mainly big spoons, anywhere from 4 to 6 inch spoons. I'm throwing the 6 inch Moe's Kahuna spoon, but a lot of people throw any type of slab or something like that would work, but I like to throw the larger baits just to keep the sand bass from hitting the bait as much, and mainly fishing for the larger hybrids. You know, most of our fish are 17 to 22 inch long hybrids, and so, you know, they can hit a pretty large bait.
Ah, the Kahuna spoon from Moe's Tackle Unlimited. I also have that in my tackle box. It's a great bait. You can check out Moe's at moestackleshop.com, another one of our great sponsors. Steve, what is the largest hybrid that you guys have caught lately?
You'll see some up to 7 pounds, maybe even 8. I've caught you know, several that I haven't weighed them, but, you know, somewhere between 6 and 7 pounds. But, you know, average size, probably 4.5, 5 pounds.
Pretty good sized fish there on average. Steve, have you heard anything else from other guides or anglers who are out on Cooper pursuing crappie or catfish?
I haven't heard much about the crappie fishing here lately. No catfishing. The guys at the jug line, they say they're just absolutely killing them right now. So I know the catfishing is supposed to be exceptional at the moment. But as a matter of fact, I caught one on a big spoon yesterday. So
we all know that the weather has been beautiful over the last couple weeks. But tell me about the water temperature and clarity.
Cooper's, you know, most generally a stained lake, and right now it's clearer than it normally is. It's, in the springtime, it's generally kind of off-colored, but after the warm water, you know, reaches a certain temperature, there's an algae bloom in the lake, and it'll clear the water up, but it's, you know, Cooper's always going to be stained. Don't let the water color bother you. You know, I think the water temperature is somewhere around 82 or 83 degrees. That's what it was like yesterday.
Well, Steve, I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for giving us our Cooper Lake fishing report.
Yeah, you bet.
Y'all be sure to check out Steve's website. It's www.cooperlakeguide.com. He's the best there is out there on Cooper. Also, be sure to tune in 3 weeks from today as we'll be giving away a free half-day fishing trip for two with Steve out on Cooper Lake. I'll keep you posted on how you can win that trip. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with Texas Parks and Wildlife game warden Pinky Gonzalez. He recently got in a fight with an alligator. Things didn't go so well for Pinky on that occasion. But hey, it's part of the job description. We'll hear all about that story when we come back. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Range.
Call my brothers to be my pallbearers. Cause what you did already buried me.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my buddy Steve Pebley over at Cooper Lake Guide Service. Fabulous state parks and lodging combined with almost no fishing pressure or boat traffic has caused Cooper Lake to become one of the best hybrid and white bass destinations in Texas. With over a decade of experience on Cooper, Steve knows the lake like the back of his hand. So to learn lake info, see videos and pictures, and learn Steve's best hotspots and waypoints, go to www.cooperlakeguide.net. Or to book a one-of-a-kind fishing trip with my buddy Steve Pebley, call 214-240-0801. That's 214-240-0801.
Listen up, anglers, because you need to know about the unbeatable prices at Moe's Tackle Unlimited. Moe's is a web-based tackle supply company that offers deep discounted prices. Lures, hooks, flies, freshwater, and saltwater, Moe's has it covered. Our goal at Moe's Tackle Shop is to provide super service, top shelf quality, and great prices. Check us out at moestackleshop.com and enter the promo code LoneStarOutdoorShow to save an additional 10% on your order. That's www.moestackleshop.com.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today.
Cable Smith here to tell every outdoorsman about Munster Natural Dog Foods. Munster Natural Dog Food is made up of a 5-grain balance of carbohydrates instead of just being made from 1 or 2 grains like other dog foods. Munster includes the necessary antioxidants and omega-3 and 6 fatty acids essential for your hunting buddy's health. Munster also has a full lineup of top-notch horse, fish, and deer feeds. So to locate a retailer near you, visit www.munstermilling.com. For my lab, Maverick, I choose the Texas tradition that's tried and true, Munster Natural Dog Foods. All right, guys and gals, spring turkey is finally here, and if you're like me, you're looking for a great way to show off that trophy gobbler. With a full line of turkey fan mounting kits, Texas European Mounts has you covered. From their traditional oak plaques to a truly Texan mesquite plaque, there's something for everyone. So whether you're a hobbyist or a full-time taxidermist, Texas European Mounts has what you need. Check them out at www.texaseuropeanmounts.com or give them a call at 940-631-4334. That's www.texaseuropeanmounts.com. Some
days you take. Hi, this is Bob Marshall, conservation editor of Field & Stream magazine, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I have seen the whites of your knuckles,
and I've seen the blood in your spit. All right, Band of Heathens bringing us back from break this morning. I'm Cable Smith. This segment is proudly brought to you by Southern Deer Stands. Today's first guest on this very special Game Warden Tribute Edition of the Lone Star Outdoor Show happens to be Refugio County Game Warden Raul Pinky Gonzalez. Good morning, Pinky. Thanks for joining the show.
Nice to be here.
Now, Pinky, you've been a Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Warden for about 24 years, right?
Going on 24 years,
And in those 24 years of service, you routinely put yourself in harm's way. And one of the things that your job requires down there in South Texas is the relocation of nuisance alligators.
It's very, very common, especially this time of year, during April, March, and May through June. It's their mating season. They become very active looking for mates and looking for just the small bodies of water, ponds and streams.
And about how many gators would you estimate that you've caught and relocated without incident in your career?
Ooh, I'd say over 200.
That is a lot of gators, my friend. And what's the largest one that you've ever had to remove?
The biggest one I have removed has been 12'2".
Whoa, that is a big gator. And I've actually caught and speared caiman alligators in the Amazon rainforest of Brazil. None that measured over 4 foot, though. I can honestly say I am not jealous of you on that front, man. Pinky, it seems like you had a pretty good streak going there. 24 years and over 200 gators captured without incident. But that all changed on the evening of April 2nd of this year. Tell me about that night, beginning with the call you received about a specific alligator.
I was at the house around 10:45. I received a call from the Refugio County Sheriff's Office that there was a alligator impeding traffic on one of our farmer market roads south of Refugio, around 5 miles, a little town of Woodsboro, and said the alligator refused to move. So it was just a common call, an alligator call. I receive them, like I said, this time I receive 5-6 calls a week. So it was nothing out of the ordinary. I took my stepson with me. My stepson's also interested in becoming a game warden. He's going to school right now. And he has seen me relocate alligators. So I took him with me. By the time I got there, it was a little after 11 o'clock at night. And sure enough, there was an alligator right in the middle of the highway.
And I'm guessing that it's the warmth that's stored in the pavement that draws the alligators to it.
It wasn't a cold night by all means, but a lot of times these reptiles need a little warmth on their belly to digest food. Uh-huh. And sometimes they just lay there on asphalt or anything warm as they're going to and from looking for mates. Mm-hmm. Or food. And this alligator was a little different than any other alligator I have removed. He wasn't necessarily just aggressive. I have handled a lot of aggressive alligators. This one wasn't too aggressive, but he just wouldn't cooperate like those other alligators. I put a noose over his neck with a rope, and normally when you pull on that rope, once you have the noose around his neck, they'll do that death roll they normally do. So they'll start rolling. And that's when I jump on them, right when they're finishing their roll. You have approximately, 13 seconds maybe to tie their mouth before they come back to and get their second wing. And this one wouldn't roll. I drug him a little bit, trying to aggravate him a little bit so he could do that death roll. And as they're doing their death roll, I'll just feed that rope on his mouth and tie his mouth before I jump on him. So This gator was just a little different. He was a 9 footer or eight foot 9 inches, almost 9 footer. And he just wouldn't do that. And that was very, very out of the ordinary, very unusual. So I went ahead and I said, well, I need to remove this alligator. And the only way you can remove it is by tying his mouth and his legs and relocate him, you know, to the nearest river. So I did end up jumping on him, and I shut his mouth, you know, closed his mouth with my hand. And I asked my boy, I said, Kelly, I said, where are you at? I need the tape. I had given him a electrical tape. I said, when I ask you for this tape, I said, you know the procedure, just give me the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was back of my truck looking for a rag because he had seen me also cover up their eyes so they won't get excited. I normally cover up their eyes with a rag, and he was looking for a rag. And I shouldn't have jumped on it. I should have seen where my stepson was, you know, before I even jumped on him. But I was kind of in a hurry. This alligator was impeding traffic, and I just stayed on him a little too long.
Yikes. A rookie mistake, huh? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I got to cut you off right as the story's getting good. Will there be blood? You better believe it. Question is, will it be the Gators or Game Warden Gonzalez's? We'll be right back with the answer. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Range. This plane's looking at that South Texas skyline.
Painting a picture now. Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas's oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSC. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
Largemouth bass are king in Texas, and that's why anglers are choosing Spit and Fire Jigs. Check out our user-friendly website at www.spitandfirejigs.com to view an extensive selection of skirts that you can match with one of our detailed hybrid, wood, finesse, football, or screwball jig heads. The attention to detail and realistic eyes on our hybrid jig make it the most versatile jig in any angler's tackle box. To date, Spit and Fire Jigs are responsible for landing 2 Texas Sharelunkers. Visit spitandfirejigs.com to order your go-to jig today. Spit and Fire Jigs, feel the fire.
Every sportsman needs a gun safe to protect his gun collection, and that's why I called my buddies at ANC Gun Safes. ANC is a family-owned business that prides itself on having the best customer service policy in the industry. ANC Gun Safe specializes in Winchester safes as well as new lightly scratched or dented safes that they sell to outdoorsmen at huge discounted prices. They also guarantee safe shipping on every order. Call Adam at 817-228-1184 or check out their great selection of gun safes at www.acsafes.com. That's acsafes.com.
If you enjoy fishing, then you've got to go fishing on Lake Texoma with Brian Pritchard at Stripers, Inc. Brian has a lifetime of experience fishing Texoma and takes the utmost pride in providing the highest quality care for his customers to ensure an experience they'll never forget by becoming a friend rather than just a fishing guide. You are guaranteed to catch fish with Brian or your trip will be free. Check out his website at www.stripersinc.com or give him a call at 903-815-1609 to set up your next fishing trip.
Ever want to ditch that Texas summer heat and go on the trip of a lifetime? Rogue Excursions is currently trying to fill limited spots for the 2010 summer season. Sportsmen can see Alaska firsthand, take advantage of the plentiful fisheries and breathtaking views, hook up with all 5 Pacific salmon species, battle giant halibut and ling cod, and other native species. Located in beautiful Sitka, our operation is designed to be the trip of a lifetime. Visit us at www.rogueexcursions.com or call Captain Cameron Clifton personally at 817-994-2254 and ask for the range specials.
If these old walls could talk, I'd be a sad man. She'd left me long.
Good morning, Texas. I'm Cable Smith, and this is the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Thanks for starting your weekend off right here with me on 95.3 The Range. It's a special Game Warden tribute edition. That's why we're visiting with Refugio County Game Warden Raul Pinky Gonzalez. And this morning we are talking specifically with Pinky about an altercation he had with an 8-foot gator this past April. Let's pick up right where we left off. Pinky, you're on top of this gator. You fail to blindfold him. Now, what happens next?
When I was on him, I remember him shaking his head a little bit, which was no big deal. But they have very strong legs, so he kind of lifted me up a little bit with his legs and got me off balance. And when he did, he reared back, trying to get my face, I guess, and hit me diagonally on my left eye and came just to the left of my nose and right in the middle of my mouth, busting my lip wide open and breaking some of my teeth. Of course, I didn't know at the time. It's happened so fast. And, of course, I put my left hand up there close to my face to protect my face, and that's when he grabbed my hand.
Mm.
And the fight was on. And the fight was on. I know what these alligators can do. I mean, I've handled numerous alligators, and I've seen them in action. And once they get a hold of something, they'll roll with it, try to tear off whatever they have in their mouth. And my mind just started processing so many ideas. It's unreal in that short period of time.
Right.
I said, what I need to do, I said, is lay flat on the ground with the alligator and roll with him, you know, till I can figure something out so he won't tear my arm off. And then I said, no. I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to pull my hand out of his mouth or just pull my arm away and leave my hand in his mouth. At least I'll have an arm left because I know what they do.
I mean, it's morbidly funny that we're laughing about you just ripping your hand right off of your arm and leaving it in the gator's mouth, but that beats the alternative of having your entire arm ripped off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll start rolling. They'll just start ripping everything. So what I did, I just pulled back as hard as I could, ripping my hand pretty good. Of course, he had driven his teeth all the way through my hand. It felt like somebody was driving cold nails through my hand, I tell everybody. I said, that's what it felt like. It felt like cold nails all the way through my hand.
Wow.
And, of course, as I pulled my hand out of it, of course, I ripped my hand in two. You know, it was just my left thumb was just kind of dangling.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I remember I slipped and fell, and I remember seeing him coming at me with his mouth wide open. I don't know if he had tasted a little bit of my blood in his mouth and just went crazy, but he started getting extremely aggressive like a dog coming at me. And I ended up pulling my pistol out and shooting him and killed him. But it was just a different alligator. I'd never handled one that didn't roll on me, never. And I really shouldn't have jumped on him without that happening, you know. Because normally they'll roll and they just exert a lot of energy where you have time to jump on them and tie them up. But this one didn't do it. This one didn't do it, and I should have known better. You know, I know these little rascals. I know what they can do.
Yeah.
But so that's what happened. I called my...
Pinky, let me interrupt you just for 1 second, and let's backtrack. So you pull your pistol out. Now, are you right or left-handed? And which hand did the gator mangle?
Yes, yeah, he caught my left hand, and I'm right-handed, so thank God I was able to draw my gun.
And so what, you double-tapped him twice in the dome?
Twice. Once in the mouth, another one in the head.
You literally fired your pistol into the jowls of death before they could get you.
Uh-huh.
So that training that you receive as a game warden really did help you.
It really does. It kind of seems ripped. You know, when you go out there and do the same thing over and over again, but it just came so natural, you know, drawing my pistol and double tapping that gator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trained to do. My supervisor lived approximately about a mile away from this incident. That alligator was approximately about a mile from my captain's house. And he just so happened to be coming in from out of town. I mean, just pulling up to the driveway. I asked him, he could take me to the hospital. He said, well, what happened? I told him, well, the gator got me. He said, is it pretty bad? I said, yeah, I think it's pretty bad. By the time I got to his house, I was real, real lightheaded, and I've lost a lot of blood. And of course, I didn't realize my lip was also busted. It broke two teeth, and when I went to the dentist and got an x-ray of my mouth, they saw a fracture. He fractured my upper jaw.
Wow.
Broke two teeth. Then that nerve, he caused some nerve damage on three more teeth. So they're working on them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
Basically messed up five of my teeth and busted my lip and almost had half of my hand. But
talk about these surgeries that you've had on your mangled left hand.
I had what they call a clean-out surgery. 75% of my injury, they sewed up and left the rest open so infection wouldn't set in. They were having to irrigate my hand once a day for 2 weeks. And every day they stick a big 100cc syringe in there and flush it from one end to the other.
So that probably felt pretty good.
Yeah. And they had to do that for 2 weeks. And after the 2 weeks, I had a reconstruction surgery where they sewed my muscles back. And they couldn't do much to some of my nerves were just severed real bad, and they couldn't do anything about it. Plastic surgeon told me if I was a violin player, he said I could probably take a nerve from another part of your body and do it. He said, I didn't think you were a violin player or a fiddle player. I said, no. So, but it's, I'm recovering real well. I'm doing therapy on it, and actually I'm back to work.
Yeah, you've actually been back to work for quite a while now. You didn't miss much time at all.
No, I kind of begged the doctor to release me. He actually got my finger right next to my thumb also pretty bad, right in the knuckle, right in the middle of the finger. But that thing healed up, so I can do a lot with four of my fingers, but my thumb is still kind of, it's getting stronger, but it's not where it needs to be. I don't have a full motion on it.
So did you get a Euro mount done of this gator skull? After a close call like that, I know I probably would have.
yeah, really. My captain the next day picked it up, another game warden, and they just disposed of the carcass. But since my incidents, I bet I've had, 12, 13 alligator calls. As a matter of fact, I went and removed two of them last week. I almost got divorced over. And luckily, they weren't real big gators. You know, they were kind of small, and one was 4 foot, and the other one like 6 foot.
And your wife said, "Don't you dare go near another gator, huh?"
Yeah, really. I said, but that's part of the job. But you know, I think they have their purpose here on this earth. They have a purpose, and they're just as scared as us as we are of them. You know.
Well, Game Warden Gonzalez, thanks for joining this very special Game Warden Tribute edition of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. On behalf of myself and every other outdoorsman out there, I just want to say that we appreciate you and your fellow game wardens for continuously putting yourself at risk, whether you're dealing with armed poachers or just an angry, ornery old alligator. Just wanted to let you know that we sincerely thank you.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you for having me on your show, and I really appreciate it. But yeah, you do have to be a little adventurous to be a game warden, to do your job properly.
Yes, sir.
But I appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, it's really been my pleasure. Good luck with a speedy and full recovery, and we'll catch up with you somewhere down the line.
Well, thank you very much. I think it will. I think everything's going to work out fine.
Big round of applause there for our Texas Parks and Wildlife game wardens. We'll continue this trend when we come back, as we'll sit down and visit with Kaufman County game warden Eric Minter, only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, 95.3 The Range. Whether you need lights for your boat, dock, or anything else, Wildcat Lighting is the answer. Our patent-pending LED lighting system is innovative and practical. Backed by a one-year warranty, there isn't a brighter boat light on the market. Wildcat builds custom lighting systems for hunting, fishing, or recreational hobbies. So whether you're looking to bring in bait fish at night, show your bling on your wake boat, or rest easy knowing that other boaters can always see you, Wildcat Lighting has the answer. Visit wildcatlighting.com to see the lights. That's wildcatlighting.com. Listen up, saltwater anglers, because you need to check out Real Fiddler Fishing Charters with my friend, Captain Mike Caserta. Captain Mike has been fishing Rockport to the Laguna Madre since 1979 and will cater to the type of fishing you want to do. Catch big reds and trout on artificial or live bait. You can also wade fish or fish out of Captain Mike's comfy bay boat. For a relaxing day on the water that you won't soon forget, call Captain Mike at 361-790-6374 or visit www.realfiddle.com to check out the awesome weekday specials. That's www.realfiddle.com.
Outdoorsmen are always looking for the best way to prepare our meats, and that's why you should check out Smoke and Tex. Smoke and Tex builds fully electric, portable, stainless steel ovens that are built to last. We feature amazing customer service with an industry-best 2-year warranty. Visit us at www.smokeandtex.com for the easiest way to gently cook moist and tender brisket, ribs, chicken, fish, and wild game. Prep the food, load the oven, add wood, set the temperature, and walk away. The static air environment locks in the flavor for you. Call 888-922-1511 or visit us at smokeandtex.com and tell them you heard about it on the Lone Star Outdoor Show for an exclusive special.
Sand Bass and Guide Service
provides the most action-packed fishing trips in North Texas. Guide Bob LaMarche specializes in sandies and stripers on Lake Louisville and sandies on beautiful Lake Ray Roberts. Bob provides all the tackle and cleans and bags your fish. Sand bass fishing can be non-stop action and is ideal for getting kids out on the water. Sand Bass and Guide Service offers full and half-day trips. Want to beat the Texas heat? Book a night trip. Call Bob LaMarche at 469-328-7706 or check him out at www.sandbassguide.com. That's sandbassguide.com.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Hey outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising, so let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. Game Guard's vent back shirts are offered in 7 great colors and perform like no others. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I'm Carter Smith, and I'm the executive director with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I want to spend my nights drinking Schaefer Light and smoking cheap cigarettes. I want a waterbed to rest my head and a pit bull for my pet.
All right, great tune there from Daryl Lee Rush, White Trash Paradise, bringing us back from break here. Thanks for joining the show this morning. I'm Cable Smith. Pleasure to be here with you. And we've got big things going on during the show next week, and it requires your involvement because we're giving away a Port Aransas fishing charter with my buddy Mike Caserta. He is the owner and operator of Real Fiddler Fishing Charters. And the way that you can win this trip for two is by tuning in next week. And when the Real Fiddler Fishing Charter commercial plays, the first person to dial 214-289-7807 will win the fishing trip. That's 214-289-7807. Once again, when the Real Fiddler commercial plays next week during the show, call that number. You will win the trip for two with Captain Mike of Real Fiddler Fishing Charters and Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoors show. They're going to throw in two of their microfiber vented fishing shirts. Let me tell you what, I'm wearing one right now, actually, and I'm heading out to the lake as soon as the show's over this morning. These shirts are awesome. This is a great prize package. If you like bay fishing for redfish and trout, and you like awesome microfiber fishing shirts, then you best be listening next Saturday morning. And without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce Kaufman County Game Warden Eric Minter back to the program. You may remember that Eric was actually on the show way back in January, episode 1 of the Lone Star Outdoors show, to be exact. I had him on the show to discuss his hunt of a lifetime. Last fall, Eric arrowed a 31-point Kaufman County monster that grossed 212 and 3/8. Unfortunately, a very small percentage of people out there began using various media outlets to stir up controversy regarding the harvest of this trophy whitetail. So recently, Eric called me and asked if he could come on the show and just kind of clarify exactly how that deer was harvested, as well as answer any questions or comments that have been made in the public eye regarding the harvest of this deer. And with this week's show serving as a tribute to our Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Wardens, I figured there was no better week than this one for Eric to come on and clear the air. Eric, buddy, it seems like your good name has been kind of dragged through the mud lately.
Sure, and I expected a little bit of that. But I wanted to give the people who had not heard the story from me, they heard the story secondhand. I wanted to give them an opportunity to ask me any questions that they were, you know, unsure about.
Well, to start off with, Eric, there's been a lot of speculation surrounding where this deer came from. And I'm not talking about forums or blogs or other media outlets. I've actually had a person come up to me and say, yeah, Eric's a great guy, but I know that that deer came off a high fence ranch. What do you say to that?
The deer didn't come off of a high fence ranch. It came off of a low fence ranch. I understand the comments. I understand the doubt. But I was a hunter, and I went into the woods on a low fence place and harvested a really unbelievable deer. And it's just that it's pretty hard to believe, but it was taken off of a low fence ranch. It was taken during archery season, and it was taken legally.
Another popular claim, Eric, is that if you look at the photo very closely, it looks like the buck has a scar where an ear tag used to be in one of his ears.
The deer does have a rip in his one of his ears. Actually, he's got a scar on both ears. But one of them could be looked at as a place where a tag was once placed. When I killed that deer, there was a lot of excitement on my part, and I really completely overlooked that ear. And after things kind of settled down and people brought that to my attention, I contacted the taxidermist that had the head and the hide, and I asked him to look over that deer. And I don't know if everybody's familiar. I'm sure there's some people that aren't familiar with regulations on high fence ranches. But the deer is required to be tagged with ear tags and tattooed for the unique number of the deer. And there's a breeder number that will go on the deer as well. And there were no marks from any additional tags. Usually they'll tag them in both ears. There were no marks from tattoos for the unique number. And for mature deer, it is required to be tattooed. And there is a high fence ranch in the area of the county that I hunt. And I went as far as contacting that owner and asking him if he had lost any deer from his ranch. And he said no. So as far as I know, that deer came from the wild. That deer was killed in the wild. And I did get pictures from another hunter from January of 2007. And he had a photo from a game camera with the same deer in the wild before he had the rip in his ear. He did give me copies of those photos, hard copies and digital images for my records. So there's no doubt in my mind that that deer was a wild, free-ranging deer killed on a low fence place.
Well, that should eliminate some controversy from the camp who claims that that deer came off of a high fence ranch. Moving along, there have been various complaints about you, Eric, whether they've been on blogs, forums, whatever. You know, anyone can sit behind a computer screen and make all sorts of accusations. But around the same time that you harvested this deer, here come the complaints. They start popping up, and in some instances, hunters say that you were rude to them in the field. In other scenarios, they say you didn't know the game regulations, and in one case, you even tried to take a man's exotics from his property.
Well, let me tell you this. I try to be fair, and I try to put myself in other people's position when I'm working, and I try to be professional. But it is a law enforcement position, and sometimes you have to do things that people aren't happy with. And I realize that even if I go out and have a perfect career, somebody's going to be unhappy. I realize that. I now realize that even if I go out and have a perfect hunt, there are going to be some people that are unhappy with that. But what else can you do but the best you can do?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've done that, and this is an opportunity to explain that I've done that. The deer, when I went into the woods, I was just another hunter. And when I came out, you know, I didn't realize that it was going to generate all this controversy. To me, it was just a good story. It was the hunt of a lifetime. If it had been somebody else, I would love to hear that story. That's the way I felt about it. I thought people would enjoy the story. And probably 99% of the people that I talked to or that contact me about it do enjoy it. But there's a few that have rained on the parade. you know, I don't understand it, but it's there, and, you know, I'll deal with it.
Well, I mean, you can compare it to any aspect of life. With success comes jealousy from other people, in this case, other hunters. Some have even gone as far as to say you became aware of this trophy buck on this property and you intimidated the landowner into letting you hunt there.
Well, let me back up, and before I say anything about the deer, the way that I came across this lease was I had another place where I actually could hunt for free, and I've hunted there for years for free, probably 10 years, maybe a little more than 10 years. But I have three sons now, and I got to the point where I wanted to take my sons hunting. And the places that I have that I could hunt for free, I wasn't able to take anybody. So I decided I wanted to get a place that I could take my family and friends and actually treat it like a deer camp. So I got a lease, and this was the first year that I've leased a place. The way that I came to find this lease was I commented to a friend of mine that I was going to be losing my hunting place because it was selling. It was going to be sold. And about 6 weeks after I made that comment to him, he called me and said there was somebody in his presence that was looking to lease some property. And I asked him the location of it, and he told me the location. I asked him how large was it. He told me the size of it. And when I found out that, I jumped up and drove over to where he was and you know, let him introduce me to this person. And we got to talking, and he told me he'd take me and show me the property. And he wasn't actually the landowner. He was a friend of the landowner. And when I told him I was interested, he introduced me to the landowner, and we worked out a contract, and I leased the property. I have worked in that area. It's an area that has had a lot of problems with poaching, and one of the reasons that the property hadn't been leased prior to me was because the previous hunters had disappointed the landowners and kind of abused the land, and they were really skeptical about leasing it out again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was probably 8 to 9 years ago, and it hasn't been leased for hunting since then. It's only been leased for cattle. The deer, I had not seen that deer. We actually took possession of the property on August 1st. Our lease started. We went out. We set up game cameras. There's five of us on the property. Four of us set up game cameras and set out feeders and food plots. And a couple of us got some nice deer, but nothing like that. I think the best we got was a 10-point, a couple of 8-points, and some really immature deer. I didn't get any deer on my game camera until well after the season was over. So really all I got on my game camera was cows.
Yeah.
So I had no idea that deer was there. I have worked in that area, and I have seen deer in that area, but certainly not that one.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had seen it, I would not be ashamed to tell you, hey, I saw that deer, and I hunted that deer, and I got him. But no, my skills didn't go that far.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that. I used, you know, the knowledge and experience that I have and looked for deer sign and put my stand in the place that I thought would be best and give me the best opportunity, and it worked out pretty good.
And for anyone that hasn't heard the full detailed description of the entire hunt, check it out on my website, texasoutdoorsmedia.com. Go to episode 1, and it'll be the very first podcast saved on the website. Oh, Eric, hold on. Here's another one I found on an internet forum. This Yahoo claims that you hit the deer with your truck.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite one. Let's talk about the photo, because I've heard a lot of people say that you didn't properly tag the deer because it isn't evident in the photograph.
Sure. The deer was tagged. There is the law requires that you complete the tag, the harvest log, you cut out the date, and you attach the tag to the carcass. And that's what I did. What I didn't do is attach the tag to the carcass so you could see it in a photo. And that's not required by law.
I'm fairly confident that you're up to date on the latest regulations, seeing as how you enforce them for a living. What about claims made by individuals who say that you had to take the deer out of the area to find a taxidermist?
I did not have to take the deer out of the area. What I did was, those that listened to episode one, I explained that I had one of the other people on the lease is a taxidermist. He and his son met me at the lease, and before I retrieved the deer, I met with him, and then we retrieved the deer. Well, at that point, at the time that we actually retrieved the deer is when I completed my tag and attached it to the carcass. We took the deer out. We took photos. Once we finished with the photos, another one of the lease mates of mine and his wife came out to the lease and saw the deer. After we finished talking and taking photos, we left the lease and we went straight to his taxidermy shop. And his son taped the deer out for me, quartered it up, and I took the meat. And they kept the head and the hide. And from the point that I started telling the story, both the phone at his taxidermy shop and my cell phones just did not stop ringing. He had people coming by his shop to see the deer at all hours of the day and night.
And just to provide a little more insight as to why so many people were coming by the shop to see this deer, there was a lot of speculation that your buck might actually break the non-typical archery state record.
Yes, yes. There was another website that the journalist called me to do a story, and when that story hit the internet, everybody started inquiring about the deer. And at that point, I felt certain that I was going to have him do the taxidermy work. Well, I also had another taxidermy buddy that called me after he heard the story and said, "Hey, I'd love to do that work for you." Well, I just didn't have the heart to tell one of them no, so I asked him to work together. Well, his shop is in another part of the county. So the first taxidermist moved the head and the hide to the second taxidermist shop, and that also stopped the people from coming by to see the antlers. He was afraid something was going to happen to the antlers. But as far as me trying to hide anything from anybody, that's not what happened, and the deer was mounted in Kaufman County.
Well, I think we're doing a great job clarifying a lot of this stuff, Eric, but we do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about game wardens being allowed to hunt within their own jurisdiction, and we'll also talk about why you've been reluctant to give out the exact location of your lease. All that and much more, you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. Please say the show will be safe. The next dance with me, and she laughs and looks him over. She shrugs and says, "I might as well." We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com. Listen up, fellas. Time to learn about WTHO. WTHO is now booking Trophy Aw Dad hunts on the 4D Ranch with a 100% shot opportunity. Two spots still available for the October rut. Fully guided, only $24.50 with no hidden fees. Spike camp included or lodging available. Bob White and Blue Quail hunts are going fast. Call Mike McKinney at 915-328-0645 to find out about early booking specials. That's 915-328-0645 or visit www.westtexashuntorg.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnol from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnola. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my family friend Jerry Malzahn over at Malzahn Landscape. Malzahn Landscape has been serving North Dallas, University Park, and Fort Worth for over 30 years and has done some of the finest landscapes in North Texas. Jerry currently has 200 beautiful specimens of red oaks, cedar elms, live oaks, and crepe myrtles that would make wonderful additions to any yard. For estate grounds maintenance or installation, call the premier landscape company in North Texas. The choice is simple, Malzahn Landscape. Call Jerry at 972-567-1950. That's 972-567-1950 today.
I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Come experience the beef jerky outlet by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland. We carry the best jerkies, 8 different flavors of Sunland peanut butter, and a wide range of hot sauces and delicious salsas. Ever tried deep-fried peanuts? They are so good you can eat the whole shell. We also have gourmet Wisconsin cheeses available to sample. You can also enjoy our edible crickets, worms, and scorpion suckers. So let the outdoorsman in you experience the beef jerky outlet for yourself. Check out our website at www.dallasjerky.com. Beef Jerky Outlet, located by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland.
The Guayo Ranch Steakhouse combines an elegance and southern hospitality reminiscent of their famous South Texas ranch. I've had the signature buffalo filet, hands down the best steak I've ever eaten. Featuring a full menu of steaks, seafood, and wild game, this is the steakhouse for the outdoorsman. Located in Dallas' historic Weston District, call 214-744-3287 or visit them online at www.guayoranchsteakhouse.com. Tell Tony you heard about them on the range and get 15% off your meal. Guayo Ranch Steakhouse, the official steakhouse of the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
No second chance. We've been drifting on an empty aching sea. You were the girl.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. I've still got Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Warden Eric Minter on the line. And Eric, let's go ahead and jump right back into it because we don't have a lot of time left this morning. We're talking about the 31.212 3/8 Grossen Kaufman County monster that you arrowed this fall. Seems that some members of the public have issue with how you harvested this deer. If you would, please address those who have a problem with game wardens hunting within their own jurisdictions.
Well, I think most of those people believe that the game warden's jurisdiction is the county that he works in. But the game warden's jurisdiction is actually the state of Texas. And basically what they would be saying is that we don't have the right to hunt in the state of Texas. And I completely disagree with that. What drew my interest to a career as a game warden was access to the outdoors. I was an outdoorsman before I became a game warden, and I'll be an outdoorsman after I leave the career in law enforcement. But if you had told me beforehand that I would have to give that up, I probably wouldn't be a game warden today.
If you couldn't hunt or fish, then being a game warden automatically goes, in my opinion, from one of the coolest jobs to one of the absolute worst. So you guys should be allowed to hunt just like the rest of us. A lot of people take issue with the fact that you haven't disclosed the exact location of your lease. And I'll tell you what, as a waterfowler who hunts a lot on public water, if I go out and shoot my limit of ducks on public land on a Saturday morning, you think I want other waterfowlers to know where I'm hunting? Heck no. And I have to believe that any respectable deer hunter would feel the same way. I mean, you just don't give out that information.
There's several reasons. One reason is when I got on this lease, it was with the understanding that I was going to do all that I could to help improve the property for wildlife and do what I could to manage the game. We wanted to make this something that was long-term and something that I could, you know, raise my kids doing or utilizing. And it was the same with the other guys that were leasing the property. If I go out and kill a record book deer and tell everybody where I did it, that would probably draw a lot of hunters to that particular property with the interest of leasing it, or getting on the lease and leasing it out from under me.
Somebody with deeper pockets than you.
Right.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's a lot of people out there with that.
You and me both, brother.
So that was one reason. The other reason is I was the only one to harvest a buck on that property. And the other hunters, there's four other guys that were still hunting and trying to take a decent deer. And we knew they were there because we had seen some. But, you know, it's really all about being fair. And I think the best way to do that was for me to tell the story, show the deer. And as far as telling where it came from, well, everybody knows it came from Kaufman County. That's not a secret. But that's as far as I'm willing to go, because I think the consequences of me telling exactly where the deal was taken would be just a little bit higher than I'm willing to go. I know there's a lot of hunters that would like to, you know where it came from, but the only benefit to them would be an opportunity to lease,
mm-hmm.
you know, where a hunting spot where the deer came from, and that wouldn't be beneficial to me.
And like we said earlier, any deer hunter worth his salt is probably very happy for you and enjoyed hearing the story of how you harvested the deer. And secondly, they understand why you're not going to give out the lease location.
I think most people understand the reason for not, you know, disclosing that location. But there's a few that will make that seem as if it's, you know, something that I'm hiding something other than just the location. There's something wrong with the story, but it's simply a matter of me trying to preserve my hunting place for next year.
Mm-hmm.
before you end this, I did want to say that there was some comments about contact with me in the field, and hunters having to bring out law books, regarding citations or violations that I was alleging. And comments that made it seem as if there was some less than professional conduct on my part. And, in the 12 years that I've been with Parks and Wildlife, I have learned that this is a law enforcement department, and I have a boss, and he has a boss, and he has a boss, and it keeps going on and on, and we all have to report to somebody. In addition to that, we have an internal affairs department, and the whole process is designed specifically to prevent the type of behavior that I was accused of online. And I do believe that if that had happened, if I know my department well, I probably wouldn't be a game warden right now. But my concern was that the comments were convincing people that this type of behavior was actually happening in the field. And one of the comments came from another law enforcement officer. So it was kind of surprising for me to hear this. But, you know, like I said, our department, it's not a new department. We have the same process. It's an intense background investigation involved in hiring game wardens, an intense training process. And then there are other checks and balances that prevent exactly that type of behavior, such as the internal affairs department and supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to comment on each specific comment on the website, but there was a lot of things that just weren't true. Just some of those comments were just ridiculous, and I think if people really think about what they're saying, they'll see how ridiculous some of that stuff sounds. But I wanted to give them a chance to ask me.
Well, Eric, I know what type of guy you are. We crossed paths in the field before I was hosting the show and before you shot that deer. So I know who you are, and I appreciate you coming on the show and trying to help everyone else see what type of a person you are.
Well, thank you, sir, and I appreciate your time and the opportunity to answer these questions and get the real story out. Thank you.
Always a pleasure visiting with Eric, but that's going to do it for our special Game Warden Tribute Edition show this morning. Remember to be sure to tune in next week for your chance to win our Real Fiddler Bay Fishing Trip for two. Also, former Texas Ranger Jim Kern, you might know him as the Amazing Emu, he'll be on the show next week, so you won't want to miss that either. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Thanks to all of our wonderful sponsors for making the show possible. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.